You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 397. Randall's here. Randall, how's it going?
It's going good. 33 days till football. So Josh Adams is the name of the day. And it's getting close. And another thing, we found out that Brian Kelly is not working out with Bayless.
Brian Kelly had his press conference today, so we're going to discuss that. We sent out a tweet asking what you guys are going to be watching for, and so we'll read off those responses here in the podcast as well and give our thoughts on that. But a big part of the show, we were going to talk about the press conference and things that we're going to be looking for. But gearing up for fall camp, which is starting. And there's also some recruiting news, too.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of recruiting news this last week, so it was a busy week for Notre Dame.
Well, why don't we start there, and then we'll get into just focusing on fall camp.
Yeah, it was a busy week for Notre Dame. They had three new commitments from Tuesday to Saturday, so definitely a good thing. You've got another 2019 guy. But the first one to commit was, we mentioned on the last podcast, but they had a commitment on last Sunday as well. And then on Tuesday, Shane Simon committed to Notre Dame, and it was down to Michigan and Notre Dame. And it was, by the time he committed, everybody knew he was going to Notre Dame. I mean, the crystal ball started to change a little bit. Something happened. I'm not sure how people found out, but crystal ball was definitely flipping to Notre Dame, and so it wasn't really a surprise, which I don't think it really has been. He was expected to commit Notre Dame, but he is a true Rover. He was recruited as the Rover for this defense, and very good pickup by Notre Dame, and it makes it even better that they beat out Michigan doing it. Anyways, he is from New Jersey. 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a four-star, and he's from St. Peter's Prep, which that's where the Amendola twins are from. So he plays with a couple other Notre Dame commitments, and I'm sure that helped play into that. But he decided to pick Notre Dame, and I don't think they'll take another Rover. Like, it's obviously kind of a new position for Notre Dame, like recruiting that. So I would say if they get one per year, they'd be doing pretty good.
Well, and people might disagree, but it's kind of like the nickel position too, in the sense that, I mean, you can find a cornerback to play that, and you can find, between safeties and linebackers, you can find someone to play it.
Yeah, and so this, some schools might think of him as a tweener, maybe. I mean, just kind of that in-between guy, but he fits perfect into that Rover. He's listed as an outside linebacker, but obviously he has coverage skills. And then on Thursday, this one was a little bit of a surprise, and it was a tight recruitment between Notre Dame and UCLA, but Jack Lamb committed to Notre Dame, and it was down to Notre Dame and UCLA. And UCLA, he's from California. UCLA would have been closer to home, but he had sent out a tweet. I don't have it right in front of me, but he said, you know, it's not easy. He's going to take a chance and leave home, you know, go across country and commit to Notre Dame. And it seems like maybe the fact that Shane Simon committing to Notre Dame helped swing the momentum to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's doing very good on the recruiting on the defensive side of the ball, which seems unusual. You'd think they'd be struggling because of how the defense has been the last couple years, but obviously the staff has convinced these guys that things are going to change. It's going to be a great defense, which Elko, you know, he can show them the defense they played in at Wake Forest. And it seems like they're taking these guys to the film room when they're at Notre Dame and showing them film exactly how they would fit into the system. And the Notre Dame defense is kind of trending with recruits.
Which is just hilarious to think about. If we would have been saying this 2 years ago, saying that, oh yeah, at some point the defense is going to be a hot thing and recruits are going to be excited about, which they were kind of saying that with Van Gorder as well.
To start with.
As far as, oh, it's really aggressive and
It's NFL style.
NFL style, some buzzwords that kids latched onto.
Yeah, but this is a huge pickup for Notre Dame.
Right, I do think this time, I think it's a legitimate buzz.
Yeah, yeah. So that, it's hard to tell if that happened, but I think with the defensive recruits that they are getting, or that they already have in the class, they're very good defensive players, and they want to be part of that. I mean, it's pretty obvious. He is a bigger guy. He's 6'4", 220 pounds, so there is talk that maybe he could be a guy that could rush the quarterback, maybe, you know, take some reps at defensive end and be that pass rusher. But he has very good coverage skills. I mean, he's one of the best linebackers. Let me just say that. He's best in coverage for a linebacker. I mean, he's at the top. And so I was kind of joking on the forums with Irish Don that this is BBG kind of guy, a guy that can play defensive end and still drop into coverage. But he's going to be, I mean, they could say he's going to be a Mike linebacker, but he's a guy that can maybe switch around. But if he's already 6'4", 220, you know, with a little bit of weight, you could see him at defensive end. So we'll see what he can do. He is planning to enroll early, so he'll have some time to bulk up. I mean, the guys that enrolled early this year definitely had an advantage on the other guys as far as being in the weight room and with the training they had. Notre Dame did hire a new I'll just throw this in now. They hired a new what was the term? Something with social media. What was the actual term?
Oh. I didn't see that, what it was called. Social media manager.
Yeah. Katie Myers, she was at UCLA, and so someone had she retweeted it. Somebody had just tweeted and said Notre Dame gets revenge for Vanderdose. So
I don't know if that's on the same level.
That was yeah, but she's coming from UCLA. Jack Lamb was a UCLA guy, so throw that in there. Her title's head of social media. So, anyways, kind of a little rabbit trailer. But then the third guy Notre Dame got was Jacob Lacy, and he's actually a 2019 recruit and defensive tackle, 6'2", 300 pounds. A lot of people thought that he'd actually be the first to commit to Notre Dame in the 2019 class, but he is second after Cade McNair, the quarterback. But yeah, he's going to be, with two more years of high school, he's going to be one of the top, if not the top, defensive tackle in that class.
So he's slotted in. When he comes in, I mean, he's going to play a couple of years at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, he's already a four-star. He's got two more years of high school, so he's very highly ranked recruit, and he's from Kentucky, so huge pickup for Notre Dame, and they beat out Michigan and Louisville for that. So, anyways, there was a couple other guys. Cam McGrone, the Indiana linebacker, he committed to Michigan today. So Notre Dame was kind of cool on him the last while. I don't know, maybe getting Shane Simon and Jack Lamb, some of these guys, and they kind of knew, you know, what was going on, but he ended up committing to Michigan. And then some other commitments that are coming up. Kevin Austin, the wide receiver, he is going to announce his commitment on August 11th, and everybody predicts him to end up at Notre Dame. I mean, he's basically a Notre Dame lock, but he'll still announce on August 11th. And then DJ Johnson, the defensive back from Indiana, he's committing on August 22nd, and that's down to Notre Dame in Iowa. And it has been for a while, but he found out that he will commit on August 22nd. Going back to Kevin Austin, Golden Tate is helping recruit him.
Okay, good.
So he basically told him he's going to be watching his announcement. I'll just read. He said, "You know I'm going to be dialed in for that announcement. Hope you decide to rock with us. We family forever over here. Hashtag Irish." And Kevin Austin replied, told him thanks for that. So they're getting, Notre Dame's getting a little more help on the recruiting side. Then one more thing. Jason Owa, that everybody's kind of watching that recruitment. He pushed off his timetable or his commitment date to the Under Armour game. And we have a great article by Solon on the website. Kind of what his timeline means. And I think it's one of his best articles he's put out there.
I think so too. Yeah, great article, Solon. And this is good. I think this is good news for Notre Dame. Definitely the way that I would see. Because originally, how do you say his name again?
Owa. We'll go with that.
He was going to commit here in the next couple of weeks, pretty soon, and then and Ohio State was at the top of his list. Ohio State, Penn State, and Notre Dame. Ohio State was favored in that, and so with him pushing it off until the Under Armour game, that only gives Notre Dame time to have a good season, and Penn State and Ohio State were already either at the college playoff or knocking at the door of the playoff last year, so it's not like they can really improve their stock from a how good is the team perspective. Only Notre Dame can do that.
And with Ohio State, they have right now they have two more defensive ends that are favored or predicted to pick Ohio State with possibly a third one. Those are Brenton Cox and Andrew Chatfield. Well, they're already committed to Notre Dame. Ohio State. They're two guys that are committed, and they're projected to add Micah Parsons, which is a five-star defensive end. And so by pushing that off, they got three. It's kind of – obviously, he's not their top priority, and maybe they're trying to wait and see. It'd be kind of interesting to see what the conversations are with him. Mm-hmm. See if these other if they get these other guys, you know, if they actually want to add him to the class, or he just kind of be a luxury to the class. Notre Dame obviously needs him, and it looks like that will play into Notre Dame's favor with that. That's all I got for recruiting right now.
Okay, let's talk some fall camp. We'll start with just some general Notre Dame-related things, like injuries, and then we do want to get to more specific ones as far as what are some things we're watching for on offense and on defense. So, big picture, general Notre Dame stuff. Just a reminder that you need to be out there for the open practice on Sunday the 20th. The gates open at 2, and then the scrimmage starts at 3:30. That's really cool. I hope this is something that Notre Dame does every year. And then later that week, on Friday night, the 25th, there is Flicks on the Field, I think that's what they're calling it, playing Rudy in Notre Dame Stadium. And the movie begins at 7:30.
Yeah, I don't really expect them to do this every year. I think they just want to.
I don't think they will open either. I just would love it.
I think the band will even be involved in open practice. I think they're just trying to run through different scenarios to get the amazing new Jumbotron in working condition. And there'd be nothing worse than in the first game something
doesn't work right.
And the sound system. There's video boards on each side of the stadium. I mean, there's a lot of new things, new additions. And so I think they just want to kind of run through game type experience, make sure everything's working. So I don't expect this to happen again.
I don't either. It's just something that I wish for.
Until the next stadium upgrade.
although if this is mostly just going to be a walkthrough of the team coming out of the tunnel and stretching and introducing players, if that's all it's going to be, then I'm not that excited for it.
Well, they're saying it's a practice, and so they only get a certain amount of practices. So it either has to be nothing or an actual practice where they get something accomplished.
That is true. Okay, so two dates to watch out for. Let's talk about injuries real quick. Yoon, Brian Clay said he exceeded all markers. He's back and healthy. And he was held out of the spring basically to heal. He needed rest in order to heal properly. But he should be kicking and ready to go for fall camp and this season.
He said he has a physically outstanding summer. So,
Cage, we knew this already, but yes, he is out for this year, and he will make a decision as far as the future of football after the season.
I think it was last week I mentioned that I expect him to announce that he's no longer going to be playing football, but they're pushing that off until the end of the season, I guess. So.
Yeah, I hope he gives.
Well, he might as well see.
Gives another try.
Yeah,
And then Crawford is fully cleared, but the staff will be careful to not overdo it. Brian Kelly said they do have a lot of faith in Crawford. He said, you know, he knows his body better than anyone, but they will be monitoring him closely and making sure that they don't overextend anything. And then Elijah Taylor, Brian Kelly said, is about 10 to 14 days from getting full movement back. And he will be participating at the beginning, but I think maybe the biggest issue was side-to-side movement, but he expects 10 to 14 days. He didn't say...
He's not quite fully cleared.
Not totally fully cleared, but really close.
Yeah.
And then Brian Kelly, when he was asked, you know, what are the results from this new strength and conditioning program, he said, conditioning and explosiveness.
Yeah, that's huge. He did mention, you know, you don't want McGlinchey, you know, when you think of conditioning, you know, is he going to go out there and we'll be able to, you know, do a couple more reps?
It was Nelson.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Nelson, you know, will they be able to do a couple more reps? But he says just the explosiveness. Not like they can...
He said
squat 600 pounds. Is that what he said?
It was 600 pounds. And he said that both McGlinchey and Nelson are off the charts as far as their explosive gains.
Yeah.
And when he was talking about explosiveness, he was talking about that first step.
Yeah.
So getting off the ball and punching the defensive lineman in the mouth, I mean, our left side, just like last year.
At some point in the press conference, he did mention false starts, that they're working on that too. So hopefully that helps McGlinchey. But with that, I mean, obviously the guy, we've heard it all summer that everybody's excited about strength and conditioning. They can see the changes. And so they feel that's what they needed last year. That was one of the things we said that needed to happen, was these guys had to walk out there and feel like they're invincible, feel like they could physically dominate the other team. And that was not the case. And now it seems like these guys, you basically can't tell them. If you tell them they can't do it, they'll prove you wrong. It's interesting, like I mentioned, Brian Kelly was asked if he joined in on the workouts. His comment was like, heck no. So he's there. He probably wants to stick with yoga. That's what he's mentioned before. So I think he's going to stick with yoga. He is there to encourage the guys and you know, help out where he needs to, but he is not doing the workouts.
Okay, every year, Brian Kelly, he has a phrase or a tagline that this is what they're doing. And wasn't last year doing little things well?
Yeah,
and I think that might not be the exact verbiage, but it was, I think last year's was along those lines. I know one of the years was, I think it was last year's, just doing the little things well. This year, it seems to be process over production. And I don't think these taglines matter. I think what it helps do is focus in on moving forward.
Well, I think they still have a lot. These phrases that he uses, that he keeps using over and over, they do have those posted at different places around the locker room, the goo, wherever. So we don't really see it anywhere, but I think they do have those. You know, it is a phrase that they use and that the team uses. But he did mention that last year that was part of his problem. He put production in front of the, did he say production in front of the process?
Yeah.
Basically opposite of what he was trying to do. And it didn't work. And so now, you know, he said it in the spring, he's still saying they're working on those the fundamentals. He mentioned fundamentals. He said it three times, like fundamentals.
That was specifically about the defense, how the defense is going to be better.
Yeah, and that's good to see. I mean, if they get those basic things. I mean, it's turning the ball, or forcing turnovers. I mean, just different things like that.
And that comes from playing sound. And that's why I'm so confident that this defense is going to be better than last year's, even if the talent's not there, which I do think you can argue against that, but even if the talent isn't there from where it was the last 2 years, because what's being preached is fundamentals, I do think it's going to be a better defense that's going to hold teams to fewer points scored.
Yeah, and it makes a big difference. I mean, I've been kind of finding that I like to play a lot of golf, and if you do not have confidence in your shot. It is horrible. You do not feel like you can get it done. And so maybe a lot of us aren't the football players now, but that's something you can really relate to. I mean, if you don't have that confidence, it messes with you. It's a mental thing too. And so those small things, you know, that's what you need to do. Even going out in the practice, right? You start with your best club to build that confidence. You don't start out with the hardest thing. You start with the small things and get it done right to build your confidence. And I think Brian Kelly's doing everything we wanted him to do. The lists we had of things he had to change, he's doing that.
And he was
now
asked,
we have to see it.
Well, there's something we want to get to. We'll tease it now. But the question was asked at the press conference, if Notre Dame hadn't gone 4-8 last year, would these changes have made? And Brian Kelly's answer was yes, they would have been made. And I'm glad the question was asked. And then Tony tweeted us too, and once we get to the Twitter questions, we'll answer that question, because I do think it's important to just to look at.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Kelly was asked, what's the strength of this team, and then what's a weakness or a question? And he said, definitely the strength is relationship. And I know we talked last year, because Brian Kelly said a couple times, you have to, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you're not going to do a good job, or you have to love what you do, I think is what he said. And we had talked about it, do you really need to? And I do think, especially as a younger people, they do need to enjoy what they're doing. And enjoyment, isn't eating candy all day. I mean, enjoyment comes from success, and I think that is important. You do need to enjoy what you're doing, it's not all eating candy.
Well, I think good example of that.
I think part of that is relationship. Enjoying what you're doing, I think relationships. You need to enjoy the people that you're around, and I think that was a huge thing that was missing from last year.
Yeah, you hear more and more stories about last year's team where it wasn't quite the case, but it remains to be seen whether, we might never find out if that was actually the case or not. But an example is a guy like Corey Robinson. I don't think, football was almost secondary to him, and it seemed like he could be that player. He was projected in the first round one year. But he had too many other interests, and he just couldn't get his head in the game. And that's why we questioned Jerry Tillery. Does he have too many other interests outside of football? Because it seems like he has all the talent in the world. He could really be a player. It's just up to him if he wants to be that player or not. So it definitely makes a difference.
It does. And then real quick, the weakness or question that Brian Kelly mentioned is just, what's this group going to do when they face adversity? And we won't know until we get there. Let's talk about more specific things. What are we looking for, watching for, on the defensive side of the football?
Everything. That's... It's hard to pick out certain things, because there's just every position on the defense, besides maybe...
Well, let's start with this.
Miles Morgan at the middle linebacker.
Let's start with this here. Maybe not the most exciting topic, but Andrew Trimbetti at the defensive end. Brian Kelly was pretty much ranting and raving how Andrew Trimbetti is at 262 pounds, and you need to watch Andrew Trimbetti. Now, he wasn't listed as a starter, and when Brian Kelly was asked, is he going to be the third guy in, either at the drop end or at the strong end? And Brian Kelly, maybe he didn't hear it, but he didn't answer it that way. He just answered as far as he's going to need to know both sides. So it's not, I wouldn't lock him in, as he is definitely going to be the third guy in. In fact, I don't think he will be the third guy in.
Yeah, he's up from, he was listed at 252 before, so he's up 9 pounds.
So I don't know why Brian Kelly made a big deal as far as him being up. It probably is pure muscle, and he probably maybe even lost some fat and reshaped his body a little bit. So maybe it's more than just 9 pounds of added muscle.
Well, that's what we can hope for, because it seems like he's a little undersized maybe for the strong side, but then, you know, if he does add weight, does he still have any speed left? I mean, it's hard to tell with him.
The most exciting Anderson Betty moment or game was Ohio State 2015, where it really looked like after a season of not really flashing, he really turned it on and was using or was getting after the ball.
Yeah. But he's got it. There's young guys. I mean, he's just one of those guys. Remember, 4 years ago, he was starting as a freshman, as a true freshman. So it's, if we'd talked about him then, we figured he was going to be a star by now.
I know. I know. That and is he just hard never,
it seems like he's still playing at the same level he was then. But
all right, with Daniel Cage out for the year, he was going to be definitely backing up and helping out Jerry Tillery at the nose, at the one technique. With him gone, who's going to step in and fill the void that is left by Daniel Cage? Brian Kelly has said that the freshman will definitely be given a look. And but I still just don't know if the freshmen are really going to be able to contribute there. You do have some older guys that are going to be able to play, Micah Dutreadway, and guys we've mentioned before. But Randall, how do you...
There was a couple guys that Brian Kelly did mention to watch for the freshmen, Kurt Hinnish and Myron Tagovailoa. We got to figure out how to say that name smoothly every time we mention it. But and then Darnell Uhl. Those are guys that you have to watch. I mean, that will probably be helping out on the defensive line.
You think they'll actually contribute ahead of Micah Dutreadway?
Well, they have a very good opportunity because these guys, I mean, they're basically the same. Yeah, these guys have been in the system, but they don't have any playing time either.
I know, but and Brian Kelly did say that these guys, they are great in terms of strength and quickness. But I've heard him, he's said that about other freshmen in the past too, where physically, yeah, they're ready to go, and they end up not playing.
Yeah.
And so you've got Brandon Tiasum, you've got Treadway, Bonner, I think, is pretty much locked in at the three technique. I don't think he'll be playing any one technique. But then also Pete Makwa. I know Brian Kelly has said, and I'm sure they'll be given a chance. I just doubt that these freshmen are actually going to get snaps ahead of some of those other guys.
It's just hard to tell because we don't know. I mean, they haven't gotten on the field in the couple years. Most of them have been there for 3 years now. They haven't gotten on the field. So it's just hard to tell. I mean, a lot of that will be seen in fall camp. I mean, that's definitely one of the top things to watch for in fall camp. I mean, some of the comments after today's press conference, you know, is some of these guys going to move inside? Was it Jay Hayes? I'm trying to pull up the tweet here.
Jay Hayes moving inside.
Why can't I find it now? Well, he's added weight, and so never mind. I can't find it. We were having a conversation with
Jay Hayes is at 281 pounds. So I mean, still, you know, 20 pounds heavier than Anderson Betty, which Brian Kelly was ranting and raving about, which could maybe play on either side. But then your defensive tackle, Bonner, is pretty much the same weight, 284. Treadway is at almost 300. Elijah Taylor, 280. So he definitely is in that weight range within that range.
Yeah. There's just a lot of things that have to be worked out on that defensive line, and we're not really going to find out until we see some of these practices, get reports from some of these practices.
Brian Kelly was also asked about Navy transfer safety Gilman, and he said Friday they heard that they will hear something soon. And Brian Kelly expects to, sometime in camp, they'll find out if he's cleared or not. And the way they're approaching it is kind of what you'd expect. He is a good player, and so he will definitely get work there, but they're not, you know, laying all their eggs in his basket And so other guys are going to be getting work too. So the sooner that Notre Dame finds out, the better, because then, you know, practice can be tilted in that direction. Here's something more about the defensive line. Brankle was asked about Tillery, if I forget what the exact question, but basically if he'll be playing or if he will be suspended because of his actions in the USC game.
I had almost forgotten about that.
Seems like such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly said that they took action and Tillery followed through with it. He was required to take counseling, required to fulfill some community service, and he will not be suspended for any game time. So he will be playing quarter one versus Temple.
So you're projecting him as a starter?
yeah, definitely. Do you have any doubts about that?
No,
I know there's questions about him, but
yeah. I just had to throw you pretty confident about it.
We were just talking
it.
About freshmen helping out on the defensive line. Okay, are we ready to move over to offense then?
Some of the position battles to watch on the defense. I mean, obviously the Buck linebacker, it's kind of expected that Greer Martin might have that starting spot, but Tavon Coney is, I think he's going to put a lot of pressure on him. It'll be interesting to see what happens with them. And then, obviously at safety, you have Nick Coleman. I'm expecting him to start over Devin Studstill, but that'll be, you know, Devin Studstill did have quite a bit, you know, he started quite a few games last year.
But that was one guy that Brian Kelly did rave about, but Nick Coleman and Nick Watkins.
Yeah, I think Nick Coleman will start over
Studstill. I meant it was an agreement, yes.
Well,
and
unless you get Gilman, things might change at the safety position if Gilman would become eligible. And, you know, that'll be during fall camp, hopefully.
I still think, I know he played safety, but with him not being here in the spring and Coleman being there in the spring and those other guys, I don't think he would step in and be a starter.
I think he would.
No. Brian Kelly even kind of said that too, made the comment about him not
being
there in the
spring. Well, he'll definitely be behind not getting, if he doesn't get as many reps as the other guys, but he was a very good player.
He was a very good player in Navy.
He started at 12. Do you remember how many tackles he had against Notre Dame?
Adams,
our number one running back.
If you have one stud, of course he's going to rack up some numbers.
Oh, my goodness. But
no, I think
isn't Josh Adams one of the top running backs? I mean, he's one of the best running backs out there. I mean, people are saying that. They expect him to be, and he stopped him in his tracks.
You're saying, like, physically, he is equal to Josh Adams.
And I think, I just think he's definitely going to shake things up if he's going to be eligible. He'll be pushing for a starting spot. But we'll have to wait and see.
I don't think he'll start, but I think he'll play.
Oh, he'll definitely play. Anyways, moving on.
All right, was that all for the defense?
Yeah.
Okay, offensively, watching for, I think there's a couple things, and in fact, maybe now would be a good time to read some of those Twitter questions, because I know a lot of these had to do with the offensive side of the ball.
While you're getting that, on the defensive side, Drew Tranquil did something different besides football and working out, obviously. I figured he's working out all the time, as ripped as he is, but he actually went to Iceland. And he had made a video, I think it was on his Twitter or his Instagram, and had this all set up and proposed to his girlfriend in Iceland. So
was she there, or was he proposed to? Was the
no,
video,
she was there.
Was
she
the
was
video the proposal?
The video was the proposal, but he went all the way to Iceland to do it.
Oh, wow.
So
I guess she said yes if he posted it all over?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, congratulations.
So hopefully that doesn't distract him now that he's engaged. So I don't think it will with him.
So here's some of the questions that we had, and some of these are about defense, so forgive me. Joshua McLean at Pexter 24, how the defensive line has improved and how the safety position will work out. Also, who the corners will be and what role Crawford will play.
Oh, well, yeah, and I had tweeted, this is what these guys will be watching for in fall camp. And those are definitely things to be watching in fall camp.
I am curious about Crawford. I mean, I really like Julian Love and Nick Watkins, and Brian Kelly mentioned Nick Watkins too. So yeah, will Crawford be just the nickelback, or will he be able to get on the field as one of the starting cornerbacks?
I think I'm more optimistic than most people are, but I think he'll be starting at some point this season. He is a dynamic player. Remember our conversations last year, which was before his injury.
Before his second injury.
When he came back from that, he was a player that could
understand Brian McGordon's defense.
True, but he was a difference maker. He wasn't just out on the field. He was a difference maker.
Yeah, and we remember hearing reports about how he would be disrupting the football in the backfield, getting after the quarterback. And I remember us talking about, we do think this is one of the difference makers, and then unfortunately didn't get to see
it. And I think he can still do that. I think the guy he is, his determination, I think he's going to be starting at corner sometime this year.
All right, Derek Gerber. How much of an impact the tight ends play this year with Alize back? Last year, that position was non-existent. Well, Brian Kelly, when he was asked about choosing his offensive coordinator, the number one thing was that he wanted to make sure it was a... Oh, let me find it here just so I don't get it wrong. He was looking for an outstanding play caller. Was the number one thing in finding an offensive coordinator, someone that could take over his place and just that he would have confidence in. And number two was someone that would utilize the tight ends within the system. He didn't want someone that would always be going 4 and 5 wide and throwing the football all over the field. So we saw it in the spring, a lot of dual tight ends. So I do think they're going to be heavily used.
And if you go by how often the tight ends were mentioned in today's press conference versus the wide receivers, then they will definitely be used more. Because he mentioned that they have 5 tight ends ready to go. And there's a lot more talk about the tight ends, which obviously that's everybody's question. That is a big topic. He knows it. Wide receivers, you know, you have things figured out a little more. But there wasn't much talk about the wide receivers.
There wasn't. In fact, maybe the two transfers were most of the talk was about.
Yeah, that's about the only time they talked about the wide receivers. I do think that, we'll have to see. But I do think that they will be playing a lot of tight ends, and they'll be productive.
At Parks Don said that what he'll be watching for, the D-line depth chart, especially one technique. And then what percentage of reps each running back gets and who lands at wide receiver opposite St. Brown. The wide receiver position is definitely one that I'm interested in. EQ, the number one guy. And then I know this whole spring there was questions about Steverson. Why is he in the doghouse? Why isn't he getting more reps? And I don't know what all that was about. However, as a freshman, he was second on the team in touchdowns, where I believe he had 5 receiving touchdowns. I'm not going to look it up. I think it was 5. And he played a lot of football. Tracked the ball pretty well. He did drop some. And so Brian Kelly mentioned these two incoming transfers, Freddie Canteen and
Cameron Smith.
And talked about how they'll add maturity to the wide receiver group. And he did say that Cameron Smith, you know, is in great shape and he knows the offense. But both of them are going to contribute. I just don't see, with how much success Steverson had last year as a freshman, if he's eligible, I think he's going to be the guy that is going to be, maybe he won't always be opposite EQ, but I think he's going to be the second most productive wide receiver.
Yeah, and there's a lot of rumblings on that too. I mean, he's impressing everybody, and I think we'll find out pretty quickly. That'll be one of the first things that'll be said, or the news we get out of fall camp is Stefan is running with the first team. So,
in fact, here we decided we're going to have a prediction board, right, Randall?
Yeah.
So here's my number one prediction of the 2017 season. Steverson is the second.
Are you saying the number one or just the first one? You're basically saying the first one.
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah. Steverson will be the second most productive wide receiver, and I'll leave that interpretation up to me.
I see so how this works.
It could be touchdowns. It could be number of yards. He's not going to be the second.
So he'll be the number two wide receiver, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I mean, I was worried that he wouldn't be playing this year. I figured something would come out and, you know, he wouldn't be eligible. Or it was just a very weird spring for him. But it looks like whatever it is, they've kind of gotten straightened out, and I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow whether he's with the first team or not.
And then Don's other comments were about the defensive line depth, and especially at the one technique, which, yeah, we'd kind of talked about that, and that will be very interesting. Running back competition. Josh Adams is the starter. I guess the backup is a little bit unclear. And the way I see it playing out is if Notre Dame is blowing a team out, then we won't see a whole lot of Josh Adams. We'll see a whole lot of Dexter Williams and Tony Jones Jr. But if it's a close game and it's in crunch time, I think Josh Adams is going to get a majority of the carries. So by the end of the year, I do think it's probably going to look like, oh, these three guys, there wasn't that much separation between Josh Adams and maybe Dexter Williams. But in the games where it matters, I do think that Josh Adams is going to get, you know, 70% of the load.
Well, I hope you're right as far as sticking with one back. Dexter Williams, he added 13 pounds, so he was already a very athletic running back, and he added 13 pounds. So I think he knows that he has to take advantage of this opportunity because Tony Jones, all the things we've heard is that he's one of the best running backs on the team.
He can catch the ball. He's, yeah, all these good glowing things.
So I almost feel bad for Dexter Williams because it almost sounds like he's not going to get his chance. Like Tony Jones is going to pass him up. And
oh, I don't feel that way. Dexter Williams, and Brian Clay mentioned him again too as one of the guys that.
Yeah, but during the season he was mentioned as the guy that was going to only one playing with fire. And so that's who's going to play, and we didn't see him again. But I'm just worried that I think all three of these guys are good, and I'm worried that the reps are going to get split up too evenly and be a disadvantage to the team, not a disadvantage to each of them.
I have kind of gone back and forth as far as, oh, it doesn't matter how it's split up. And at the end of the year, I don't think it matters if it's pretty much Dexter Williams got half and then the other two got 25%. But I do think it does matter. As long as the back is able to go and isn't winded, if he's able to go and finish that series, especially if it's more of a, if we're trying to hurry up and catch the defense unaware, then I do think it's super important just to give it to the back and just let him run, let him grind it out. But as long as they're not winded, as long as they're 100% able to go.
I liked what Bob Chamel said on Irish Sports Daily with Mike Frank. He used to coach at Notre Dame. He's totally in favor of keeping one guy out there because he said they get a feel of the game, and it's all about, and you know, as the game goes on, they kind of learn where the holes are, how the other team reacts, and it's something you need to be out there. You can't just come in and out, in and out, in and out, and be switching guys because they never get a feel of that game. If you keep a guy in there, it takes some time, but eventually he's going to start figuring it out. He knows how the other team is playing and kind of what they like to do and whatever. You know, it's one thing to watch film, but it's another thing to actually be in the game and the flow of the game. And I'm totally in favor of that. I want to get a guy in there. I don't want to have one series Josh Adams, the next one Dexter Williams, and the next one Tony Jones, and then finally bring Josh Adams in again.
And I think we've all played in you know, even if it's a church league or whatever, played basketball, and you do, you are a little jittery. It's just different the first time you're out there, and then after a few minutes, you get in the flow of the game, and you just feel more comfortable and are able to react and see things better.
Well, you can kind of predict what the other team's going to do.
Yeah.
And
so isn't that kind of true, though, also at the wide receiver position?
Yeah. I think it's a lot of game. I mean, the longer a guy can stay in there, the better he gets a better feel of the game and can be more productive. And I think it's huge for the running back. So that worries me a little bit with three guys that are supposed to this good. You know, how are they going to use all of them? But you look at what Alabama does. We went over this a while ago. You know, usually the guy that was very productive in the playoffs actually didn't have that many carries and yards during the season. Like, they kind of had the main guy during the season.
And then he got beat up.
Pretty much. And then another guy steps in, you know, at the end or during the playoffs and plays a huge role. Like, all of a sudden, it's basically like a breakout. You know, where's this guy been? But he's didn't get as many carries earlier in the year. And that's the Notre Dame's advantage here. I mean, they
have three solid guys.
Yeah. So, I think it can vary with the game.
Even though we think these are three solid guys, it's probably Alabama probably has, I mean, equally as quality. There are one through three running backs. I know that we think we're sitting pretty good, and I do feel like we are, but yeah. I don't think we're better off than Ohio State or Alabama.
Yeah. But I think it varies. I'd rather see it game to game versus in game. But if a guy, see, it's so hard because even if he doesn't really get any carries to start with, you know, it takes a little bit to get into the game. And hopefully Notre Dame will have these fast starts that they won't have an issue with that. But with the running backs, Brian Kelly was asked, you know, is he going to run the ball more, kind of try to protect Brandon Wimbush like they did Everett Golson in 2012, because Brian Kelly's comment that year was that Golson doesn't need to drive the bus. He just needs to get on. And he said this isn't the case because Wimbush has been in the system for 3 years. They don't need to protect him.
I'm glad he said that, because for one thing, I think that was kind of a little bit of a cheap shot to Everett Golson when he said that. And even though there was some truth to it, I do think, but he's right too. I mean, Everett Golson was a redshirt freshman. Brandon Wimbush, this is his third year in the system. He did redshirt last year, but he got a little bit of playing time as a true freshman the year before. But I think it is true, though, that the offense is going to, well, I guess we'll wait and see, but definitely there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the offensive line, on the running backs. Yeah. And I think that can only help Brandon Wimbush.
Oh, totally.
All right. Was there another question here? Okay. James Kaz said, how much of a role will Tony Jones Jr. get in this year's offense? Will we see any time for him fielding punts or kick returns? I don't think we'll see him on kick returns or punt returns, just because Sanders and Fink are back there, and both those guys will also be trying to get on the field as much as possible. So I think those two guys will probably remain as our primary returners. But how much will he play as a running back? We'll wait and see. I mean, if he could get into the number two spot, he'll play a lot.
I think he's going to get quite a bit of carries, even if he's technically number three. You'll probably never have a number two and three. They'll just be those two guys.
Yeah. I do think that I like Williams better than I do Tony Jones Jr., but I think both those guys, like you said, I think they're both going to get some action. Okay, let's talk about, was there anything else about offense, Randall, that you had wanted to mention?
Well, we kind of mentioned Wimbush, how he doesn't need protection, but there wasn't much said about the wide receivers, and besides Cameron Smith and Freddie Canteen. And so I guess we'll take that as a good thing.
Just some other, this is more overall picture stuff, but Brian Kelly did hire a mental skills coach.
Oh, yeah.
And he is, it's for Brian Kelly, it's for the players. And the way I understand it, they work, this coach meets or works with individual players, but also in their position groups and on defense, offense. He kind of works in all different facets. And I think where it can maybe, I think where it can help is just make sure that things are being clearly understood and processed across from the coaches to the players, or even between the players, that things are clear. This is what the intent is. This is what is being said, and this is what's being understood. I think that's probably the biggest advantage, just making sure there's no misunderstandings.
Yeah. And with going back to the quarterbacks, Brian Wimbush, they also had the green shirt. They did that this summer. Basically, I'm not sure what all the you had to do to earn that shirt, but basically, if you got a green shirt, you were somebody that the others could look to as a role model, pretty much. I mean, that's what you need to be at Notre Dame. That's the type of person and player you need to be at Notre Dame. And it's good to see that Brandon Wimbush is one of those guys.
I agree.
I mean, I think that is huge.
Did anyone else, or who else got a green jersey? Do you know?
I'm not sure. But the one that Brian Kelly talked about today was Brandon Wimbush. And that is definitely a positive thing to see the quarterback and the team leader doing that. And kind of with that, you know, Brian Kelly put more responsibility on the players and the captains. You know, he named the captains at the end of last season. Was it at the banquet? And those guys, they even down to cleaning the locker rooms. He put the captains in charge, and they had the janitors didn't have a job anymore in the locker room, but they bought them Vax, and they were in charge of making sure that they didn't do it themselves necessarily, but they made sure that somebody did it and the locker room was cleaned up. And I think that's huge. I mean, just start with those small things, just the responsibility, and know that you can, you know, you're responsible for a lot of things that happen, and you can make a difference if you do what you need to, what you're supposed to. So things are definitely changing in the program. Things are definitely different than they were.
So let's keep on that point then. Tony asked the question from the press conference. Brian Kelly was asked, you know, if Notre Dame hadn't gone 4-8, if they had gone instead maybe 8-4 or 9-3, would the changes that were made this offseason still have happened? Brian Kelly said that yes, these things would have happened, and that he saw things even last year that he should have taken some action.
He didn't do it.
And he didn't. So my answer is, if they would have gone 9-3, no, these changes would not have been made.
No.
Should they have been made? Yes. They should have been made the year before, even after they went. I know there were only a few plays from going...
After a 10-3 season.
Yeah, there were only a few plays from going 10-1,10-1.
12-1.
Going 12-1. And I was one of those guys saying that, I was agreeing that, you know, it was literally only a few plays from being in the playoff. But I was wrong, and Brian Kelly was wrong too, and these changes should have been made. And
I don't think he would have made it.
I don't think so either.
That's what he has to say now. Like, what do you expect? And remember, all this stuff coming out of the press conference is positive stuff. It's exciting. It's whatever. But that's how every football fan is feeling about their team right now.
Yeah, true.
Unless you're Michigan State. But other than Michigan State, you know, most teams are feeling positive about where their team is at. You know, their team has, you know, a shot at, hey, this could be the year. So, yeah.
Did I mention at the beginning what Brian Kelly stated as the goal for this team?
I don't think so.
Kind of in his opening monologue where he's talking about a few of the different things where they've come from 7 months ago, he said that our mission is to graduate everyone and win a national championship. And then later on, he said that's the only reason he's here, is to accomplish that mission or that goal.
Well, and yeah.
I think, well, yeah, clearly. That's the only reason, yeah, that the fans are here too, is to win.
Yeah. I guess one other news kind of Oregon started their fall camp, and Scott Pagano, the defensive tackle transfer from Clemson that we're all hoping would come to Notre Dame, he was out there in a walking boot. I mean, he had surgery on his foot or his knees. So it's looking a little better. You know, it wasn't quite as big a miss. I mean, obviously he'll probably be ready to go by the season, but that definitely, you know, slows things down. It's just kind of interesting to see him, see a picture of him in a walking boot. So he's got a little bit of an uphill climb, you know, to be a big impact on the team. So,
all right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you do want to talk Notre Dame football, head on over to the forums. It's free. All you need to do is just sign up, forums.irishsportstalk.net. And if there's ever a question you have or something you'd like discussed on the podcast, you can list it there over in the forums or tweet at Irish Sports Talk. So, fall camp starts tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the weekend review and maybe some upcoming expectations next week, next Monday when we do the next podcast. But until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.